Swallow, I said, and she did. I gave her half of what was in the bowl that way, and then I ate the rest myself, and brought in another pan of snow. She watched me put another half loaf of hard bread in the pan, but said nothing, her face still placid. What's your name? I asked. No answer. She'd taken Kef, I guessed. Most people will tell you that Kef suppresses emotion, which it does, but that's not all it does. There was a time when I could have explained exactly what Kef does and how, but I'm not what I once was. As far as I knew, people took Kef so they could stop feeling something, or because they believed that, emotions out of the way, supreme rationality would result. Utter logic. True enlightenment. But it doesn't work that way. Pulling Savardin out of the snow had cost me time and money that I could ill afford, and for what? Left to her own devices, she would find herself another hit or three of Kef, and she would find her way into another place like that grimy tavern and get herself well and truly killed. If that was what she wanted, I had no right to prevent her. But if she had wanted to die, why hadn't she done the thing cleanly, registered her intention, and gone to the medic as anyone would? I didn't understand. There was a good deal I didn't understand, and 19 years pretending to be human hadn't taught me as much as I'd thought. Chapter 2 19 years, 3 months, and 1 week before I found Savardin in the snow, I was a troop carrier orbiting the planet Shiserna. Troop carriers are the most massive of Rodchai ships. 16 decks stacked one on top of the other. Command, administrative, medical, hydroponics, engineering, central access, and a deck for each decade. Living and working space for my officers, whose every breath, every twitch of every muscle, was known to me. Troop carriers rarely move. I sat, as I had sat for most of my 2,000-year existence, in one system or another, feeling the bitter chill of vacuum outside my hull. The planet Shiserna, like a blue and white glass counter, its orbiting station coming and going around, a steady stream of ships, arriving, docking, undocking, departing, toward one or the other of the buoy and beacon-surrounded gates. From my vantage, the boundaries of Shiserna's various nations and territories weren't visible, though on its night side, the planet's cities glowed bright here and there, and webs of roads between them, where they'd been restored since the annexation. I felt and heard, though didn't always see, the presence of my companionships, the smaller, faster swords and mercies, and most numerous at that time, the justices, troop carriers like me. The oldest of us was nearly 3,000 years old. We had known each other for a long time, and by now we had little to say to each other that hadn't already been said many times. We were by and large companionably silent, not counting routine communications. As I still had ancillaries, I could be in more than one place at a time. I was also on detached duty in the city of Ors, on the planet Shiserna, under the command of Esk Decade Lieutenant Aun. Ors sat half on waterlogged land, half in marshy lake, the lakeward side built on slabs atop foundations sunk deep in the marsh mud. Green slime grew in the canals and joints between slabs. Along the lower edges of building columns, on anything stationary the water reached, which varied with the season. The constant stink of hydrogen sulfide only cleared occasionally, when summer storms made the lakeward half of the city tremble and shudder, and walkways were knee-deep in water blown in from beyond the barrier islands. Occasionally. Usually the storms made the smell worse, They turned the air temporarily cooler, but the relief generally lasted no more than a few days. Otherwise, it was always humid and hot. I couldn't see Ors from orbit. It was more village than city, though it had once sat at the mouth of a river and been the capital of a country that stretched along the coastline. Trade had come up and down the river, and flat-bottomed boats had plied the coastal marsh, bringing people from one town to the next. The river had shifted away over the centuries, and now Ors was half ruins. What had once been miles of rectangular islands within a grid of channels was now a much smaller place, surrounded by and interspersed with broken, half-sunken slabs, sometimes with roofs and pillars, that emerged from the muddy green water in the dry season. It had once been home to millions. Only 6,318 people had lived here when Radchai forces annexed Shiserna 5 years earlier. And of course the annexation had reduced that number. In Ors less than in some other places. As soon as we had appeared, myself in the form of my Esk cohorts, along with their decade lieutenants, lined up in the streets of the town, armed and armored, the head priest of Ikt had approached the most senior officer present, Lieutenant On, as I said, and offered immediate surrender. The head priest had told her followers what they needed to do to survive the annexation, and for the most part, those followers did indeed survive. This wasn't as common as one might think. We always made it clear from the beginning that even breathing trouble during an annexation could mean death. And from the instant an annexation began, we made demonstrations of just what that meant widely available. But there was always someone who couldn't resist trying us. Still, the head priest's influence was impressive. The city's small size was to some degree deceptive. During pilgrimage season, hundreds of thousands of visitors streamed through the plaza in front of the temple, camped on the slabs of abandoned streets. For worshippers of Ikt, this was the second holiest place on the planet, and the head priest a divine presence. Usually, a civilian police force was in place by the time an annexation was officially complete, something that often took 50 years or more. This annexation was different. Citizenship had been granted to the surviving Shisernans much earlier than normal. No one in system administration quite trusted the idea of local civilians working security just yet, and military presence was still quite heavy. So when the annexation of Shiserna was officially complete, most of Justice of Torin Esk went back to the ship. But Lieutenant On stayed, and I stayed with her as the 20 ancillary unit, Justice of Torin 1 Esk. The head priest lived in a house near the temple, one of the few intact buildings from the days when Ors had been a city. Four-storied, with a single sloped roof and open on all sides, though dividers could be raised whenever an occupant wished privacy, and shutters could be rolled down on the outsides during storms. The head priest received Lieutenant On in a partition some 5 meters square, light peering in over the tops of the dark walls. "You don't," said the priest, an old person with gray hair and a close-cut gray beard, "find serving in Ors a hardship." Both she and Lieutenant On had settled onto cushions, damp like everything in Ors, and fungal-smelling. The priest wore a length of yellow cloth twisted around her waist. Her shoulders inked with shapes, some curling, some angular, that changed depending on the liturgical significance of the day. In deference to Radchai propriety, she wore gloves. "Of course not," said Lieutenant On, pleasantly, though I thought, not entirely truthfully. She had dark brown eyes and close-clipped dark hair. Her skin was dark enough that she wouldn't be considered pale, but not so dark as to be fashionable. She could have changed it, hair and eyes as well, but she never had. Instead of her uniform, long brown coat with its scattering of jeweled pins, shirt and trousers, boots and gloves, she wore the same sort of skirt the head priest did, and a thin shirt and the lightest of gloves. Still, she was sweating. I stood at the entrance, silent and straight, as a junior priest laid cups and bowls in between Lieutenant On and the divine. I also stood some 40 meters away in the temple itself. An atypically enclosed space, 43.5 meters high, 65.7 meters long, and 29.9 meters wide. At one end were doors nearly as tall as the roof was high, and at the other, towering over the people on the floor below, a representation of a mountainside cliff somewhere else on Shiserna, worked in painstaking detail. At the foot of this sat a dais, wide steps leading down to a floor of gray and green stone. Light streamed in through dozens of green skylights, onto walls painted with scenes from the lives of the saints of the cult of Ikt. It was unlike any other building in Ors. The architecture, like the cult of Ikt itself, had been imported from elsewhere on Shiserna. During pilgrimage season, this space would be jammed tight with worshippers. There were other holy sites, but if an Orsian said pilgrimage, she meant the annual pilgrimage to this place. But that was some weeks away. For now, the air of the temple susurrated faintly in one corner, with the whispered prayers of a dozen devotees. The head priest laughed.
"You are a diplomat, Lieutenant On."
"I am a soldier, Divine," answered Lieutenant On. They were speaking Radchai, and she spoke slowly and precisely, careful of her accent. "I don't find my duty a hardship." The head priest didn't smile in response. In the brief silence that followed, the junior priest set down a lipped bowl of what Shisernans call tea, a thick liquid, lukewarm and sweet, that bears almost no relationship to the actual thing. Outside the doors of the temple, I also stood in the cyanophyte-stained plaza, watching people as they passed. Most wore the same simple, bright-colored skirting the head priest did, though only very small children and the very devout had much in the way of markings, and only a few wore gloves. Some of those passing were transplants. Radchai assigned to jobs or given property here in Ors after the annexation. Most of them had adopted the simple skirt and added a light, loose shirt, as Lieutenant On had. Some stuck stubbornly to trousers and jacket, and sweated their way across the plaza. All wore the jewelry that few Radchai would ever give up. Gifts from friends or lovers, memorials to the dead, marks of family or clientage associations. To the north, past a rectangular stretch of water called the Fore Temple, after the neighborhood it had once been, Ors rose slightly where the city sat on actual ground during the dry season, an area still called, politely, the Upper City. I patrolled there as well. When I walked the edge of the water, I could see myself standing in the plaza. Boats poled slowly across the marshy lake and up and down channels between groupings of slabs. The water was scummy with swaths of algae, here and there bristling with the tips of water grasses. Away from the town, east and west, buoys marked prohibited stretches of water. And within their confines, the iridescent wings of marsh flies shimmered over the water weeds floating thick and tangled there. Around them, larger boats floated, and the big dredgers, now silent and still, that before the annexation had hauled up the stinking mud that lay beneath the water. The view to the south was similar, except for the barest hint on the horizon of the actual sea, past the soggy spit that bounded the swamp.